welcome to PokeSports, a competitive Pokemon podcast. I'm Mike, and I play with one Pokemon on the field.
I'm Kevin. I play with one matcha on the field.
One matcha on the field. Ladies and gentlemen.
You like matcha?
Yeah, I love matcha, man.
I love matcha, too, but apparently we're not allowed to bring it to Kitakami, man. It's banned.
What do you mean it's banned?
Did you not watch the trailer, Mike?
It's banned from Kitakami?
It's banned. We cannot bring it.
I paid attention to one thing and one thing only, and that was the copious amounts of death.
Yes. Poltergeist. Spoiler. We got a new Pokemon, guys. Yes. Poltergeist kills people, is what I learned. Sucks their life force out through its little straw. Is that what happened?
We talked about this. We talked about this on the Preach as well, but I will say the ghost Pokemon have been given such carte blanche in the Pokemon world to just commit
terrible things.
They like ghost type Pokemon can commit more arson than fire type Pokemon.
They commit felonies in the Pokemon lore. They kidnap. That is something to get the FBI involved, but they do it specifically children. I'm looking at you, Drifloon.
We're looking at you, Drifblim, and we always will be looking at you, Drifblim. You're cute and you're terrifying. welcome to PokeSports, a competitive Pokemon podcast. We are a day late, and we apologize for all of you good old first dayers out there. And if you are a first dayer, we appreciate the heck out of you.
People reminded us that we were late before we remembered that we were late. Uh-huh. That's what I found really funny. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. We didn't do it yesterday.
I love it when I wake up in the morning to messages of like, where's the podcast? And I'm like, what?
Oh, I'm still trying expectations?
I'm still trying to like catch my Pokemon from Pokemon Sleep the night before. And like, I'm just getting like dang after dang. I'm like, what? But no, thank you. Thank you for the people who are on top of that. Hopefully this episode comes out in a time we matter tomorrow.
Keep us accountable.
Keep us accountable. The thing about that, we had to push it because I was in Chicago for the past 3 days an esports convention or conference. That's the word. Speaking with other industry professionals, because that's what I am now, an industry professional. I put on a top hat and I act my way into the top.
If you want to hear about Mike's experience with deep dish pizza, listen on the Preach.
Oh, I had such an experience with deep dish pizza and I talked all about it at length on the Preach. yes. Yeah, so I was there from Sunday until Wednesday and then I came back and now we're doing this in the tiny like few hours that I have in between
going
to Chicago and going to Montreal. I am tomorrow morning as of 9 a.m.
Who planned this?
Me! I'm bad at planning. I put everything together because I think everything fits like building blocks. I have no room for anything. Except I make room for Pikmin for some reason. I played so much Pikmin 4 today, dude. I'm at the final Ooh. Boss. I had to stop it so that I could come here and do this podcast. But like, I'm staring it down.
You'll finish it on the plane to Montreal.
I'm not going on a plane to Montreal. I'm going on a 6-hour drive.
Even more time to finish Pikmin.
Uh-huh. I'm not going to be driving, though, thankfully.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, I'll just be sitting down.
It's your party. You don't drive.
Yeah, I'm going to my my bachelor party for the next 4 days. So, yeah, there is that. Meanwhile, Pokemon has not been slowing down. We heard some rumors, too, that there might be some kind of news dropping on the 23rd. And that news was Poltergeist. Poltergeist, the matcha Pokemon, which had differing reviews for many different reasons. Some people, they were less than enthused. Some people were happy to see a new Pokemon. Personally,
I like it.
I'm of that camp. I love seeing a new Pokemon.
I think it's cute. People just love to complain about things. I think it's a great Pokemon. Is it going to be great and competitive? I don't know, but they definitely tried. I can always appreciate when not only they make a Pokemon have a unique ability, but have a unique ability that's exclusively unique to doubles. Like, this is the first time we're seeing anything like this before. Hospitality is what I'm talking about. So every time this Pokemon switches in, you heal your friends.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
It didn't tell you exactly how much, right? Didn't show you?
I think in the trailer it showed about 25%, which isn't irrelevant.
Amazing.
That's a citrus berry for that's free. A
citrus.
Mm-hmm. Every time you switch in. Like that's pretty cool.
Now it did in the description say it kind of alluded to like it heals your allies and also treats them, but I don't like it doesn't. It just heals, right?
Yeah.
It's gotta just heal. Hopefully. It can't be a lunar blessing on switching. For free. Right?
I mean, that'd be kind of cracked, but I mean, they've done crazier things. The interesting thing about it, though,
mm-hmm.
is that I don't know if this Pokemon is going to be good, but that ability is definitely going to be good. And the thing that, and if this Pokemon has a similar moveset to, you know, the current Poltegeist, you can kind of do some pretty cool supportive things. You could Shell Smash, Baton Pass, and then swap in and heal a Pokemon all at the same time. That's which is kind of crazy. Ooh. And just come back in.
I never thought about something like that. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of cool little things you could do.
Yeah. I'm looking at Poltegeist's base stats right now. Yeah, like that's not bad. Total 508, 135 special attack. That 134. That's Fluttermane's amount of special attack.
Yeah, it hurts. Like, it won't live very long, but it hurts. And we're assuming that it's gonna keep the exact same stats as Poltegeist because Toadscruel has the same stats as Tentacruel and. I think Wugtrio has the exact same stats as Dugtrio. So the R-Fakes just share stats is what it seems like. So
I've heard that that term used a lot, R-Fakes.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what that means?
A convergent evolutions.
Okay.
Yeah. R-Fakes is just what Riddler Q calls it.
Fair enough.
That's what it is. Just swimming around the new words.
Ew.
I don't actually know what Game calls them. I don't think Game ever gives them a name. It's just like, oh, this kind of looks like Dugtrio, but it's not.
Well, I mean, they call them. Oh, yeah, that's true. They would say like a new evolution of Diglett or what? A regional evolution, I guess.
No, it's not regional though, because it's not that Pokemon. Regional would be like Alolan Ninetales and Ninetales.
Oh,
this is not. They're completely different.
Oh, they're like
that's the named,
is different even.
Yeah,
I can't even wrap my head around how many differences there are. That's interesting.
No, these are actually different species. They have different dex numbers. Regional variants are the same dex number too. Like Alolan Ninetales and Ninetales are both. Whatever it is, 109 or whatever their dex number is.
But like Toadscruel and Tentacruel are different numbers.
Yeah, one is 1,000 and something. One is 50 something. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So Poltegeist is going to be like far, far down the list.
Yeah. And I guess this can count as the first non-Kanto regional fake. Oh, I guess it's regional fake. That's what our fake stands for.
Oh.
So cool. I mean, I'm a fan. I like the design. I like the typing could be better. We have a bajillion grass ghosts, so I'm not super impressed with the typing. I thought it would have been cooler if it was like a fairy ghost, but then we would have just had Fluttermane.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the list of other ghost grass type Pokemon. You've got Gorgeist and Phantump, Pumpkaboo and Trevenant.
Ramblegast,
yeah.
Trevenant. We got a lot of them.
Yeah, it's true.
So it's there
what's his name too? Anchorman.
Delmize.
It's an okay typing. Like but
it's not horrible. It's not great.
It's middle of the road. Like it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This Pokemon is gonna have to get hard carried by its ability, that's for sure.
Sure. Yeah, I'm interested in it. We'll see more. Later on, if this is actually good,
it's gonna have to get some more too. I highly doubt they've announced everything for this DLC already. We are very close to the actual release of it. It's like 2-3 weeks away.
With every podcast, we inch closer to the release.
That's a fair point.
I don't like that.
Listen, man, two more podcasts and then this DLC is out. Like, I'm gonna ruin it. We just have two more of these, and DLC is out.
Oh gosh, no, I don't wanna. I do. I'm really excited for it, but oh my gosh, I'm not ready for that level of commitment.
Get through your bachelor party first. It's fine.
Yeah, that's it. I just have to get
then
through that first.
Then you can commit to YouTube for, yeah, for like 2 weeks.
Yay. Okay. We held on to our promise. We kept a promise that we made in a previous episode of PokeSports. We have gone back and played a few games of Pokemon Unite. And by a few games, that usually does between the Mike and Kevin way of saying a few games means that Mike has played a few games and Kevin has no-lifed it for probably a couple of nights. Is that accurate to say?
Yes, I haven't played since the night we played, though.
Okay.
Yeah, that night we played kind of broke my heart. So I was okay.
We got mad at it. We got mad.
Mm-hmm. We got mad specifically at one Pokemon.
Yeah. Yeah.
So until they fix that Pokemon, I think I'll just stay away for a little bit longer.
We had a very tough time wrapping our heads around Mewtwo X. And I thought,
just understanding why it exists.
Yeah.
Why is it doing everything that it does?
And I thought in the style that we used to do, that I would go through Mewtwo X and just give you the little rundown on that. Because we found ourselves so many times going like, what does this thing do? Why is this thing just running around and destroying everything?
How am I half a mile away from it? And then suddenly I'm in front of it, even though I didn't ask to be here.
I didn't consent to be put in this place.
Get over here.
Mewtwo X. Passive ability is pressure. When Mewtwo deals damage, yes, so did I.
I definitely felt it.
Passive ability. When Mewtwo deals damage to enemy players with a basic attack, the Mega Gauge increases. Each time the Mega Gauge increases, Mewtwo's attack, defense, and special defense are increased by 2% up to 10 times, so it can go up to 20% bonus. If Mewtwo is level 5 or higher and the Mega Gauge has stacked at least 8 times, it Mega Evolves. The Mega Evolution lasts 15 seconds and increases Mewtwo's attack by an additional 10%, its defense and special defense by an additional 10%, its max HP by 10%, and its movement speed by 5%.
Why do we need to math this much? That's just the passive.
That's just the passive. It's passive, it gives it an omni-stat buff.
The more it hits you, the more it don't go.
Right? But oh, it's strange because I don't recall ever seeing Mewtwo not in mega form. Every time I see it, it's just there.
What is actually the cooldown?
It doesn't say.
Unfortunate.
When Mewtwo Mega Evolves, this is its auto attack. When Mewtwo Mega Evolves, deal increased damage and become a boosted attack with every third attack. Okay, that's a normal type of auto attack. That just happens. Confusion. Move 1. That's what I felt. Level 1 or 3. Deal damage to an enemy and leave them unable to attack for 1 second. That I felt. Yes. I felt the pain of not being able to attack. That
1 second is a long time.
1 second is a year in Pokemon Unite. That can turn into either Future Sight or Psy Strike. Future Sight pulls the designated enemy toward itself, dealing damage. Oops, found it. That's the one I hate. Pulls the designated enemy toward itself, dealing damage, leaving them unable to attack for 0.75 seconds and locking onto them. The locked on enemy has their movement speed decreased by 25% for 3 seconds and takes 20% increased damage from Mewtwo. That's 3 seconds.
So you can't attack for 3/4 of a second.
Yeah.
You're slowed for 3 seconds.
Yep.
And you're transported halfway through the map in less than a second.
Yeah. Not only that, they take 20% increased damage from Mewtwo, which, by the way, if you remember, its passive already gives itself like 30% increased attack. So why not just reduce your defenses even more, right? After 3 seconds.
They fire the balance team at Unite. What happened?
They love Mewtwo. Mewtwo and Altoria. Is it Sylveon?
Is there a Mewtwo
Altoria
movie coming out? Oh, Detective Pikachu. That's why they did this.
Okay. Yeah, now we're all worried about Mewtwo X. I see. After 3 seconds, Mewtwo deals damage to the locked on enemy a second time. And additional damage equal to 50% of any damage they took while locked on. That's too many things. Why are you Dynamaxing when you're mega evolving? Dynamax does too many things.
Brother, you're just on the first move.
My gosh. Against enemy players, maximum damage is capped at 2,000. Doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, too bad my health bar is only 1,000.
Yeah, right? All right. At level 11, the locked on enemy instead takes 30% increased damage instead of 20%. So that's great. Could also become Psystrike, where Mewtwo becomes unstoppable and starts directing psychic waves at the designated enemy, each hit dealing damage and decreasing their movement speed by 10% for 1 second, stacking up to 5 times. While Mewtwo is directing psychic waves, it takes 25% reduced damage. At the end of the move, Mewtwo sends a final hit, dealing damage to the designated enemy and nearby enemies, then throws them for 1 second.
No one clicks that one, though.
One uses that one.
No one. You'll never see that one. You'll always get dragged into the Mewtwo X.
Because why would you do that when you can just use Future Sight and destroy a person before you need to buff yourself?
Like, pick a squishy person, take the kill. Prosper. Yeah,
you already get your increased defense and special defense with your pressure. You don't need Psystrike. If Psystrike is intercepted by an enemy that isn't the intended target, there's no explosion and the enemy hit is shoved instead. Okay, whatever. I'm not trying to push them away. I'm trying to pull them to me with Mewtwo X. But I mean, it's kind of cool that they at least built a divergent move where it's like, either now you can push them away or you can pull them in. That's what Mewtwo does.
Don't say any of this is cool. I will never agree with you. No, none of this is a good idea.
None of this was good. Barrier is move 2. Level 1 or 3. Mewtwo gains a shield for 3 seconds. Because Mewtwo wasn't defensive enough.
Because why not?
While the shield effect is active, its movement speed is increased by 20% because it wasn't fast enough.
Yikes, man.
So this is how
this is the other tree, right? This is the other ability. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is how they're catching up to you and pulling you in. Well, no, actually, it's recover and teleport.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know. Recover. Mewtwo gains a shield for 3 seconds. While the shield effect is active, movement speed is increased by 30%. What? And Mewtwo recovers HP equal to 20% of all incoming damage received. From enemies while the shield is active.
So you essentially take 80% of the damage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
So when Mewtwo
while
takes
you're going
damage,
35% of your speed.
Yeah.
Why not?
Because why not? When Mewtwo takes enough damage for the shield effect to be removed, all of the user's move cooldowns are reduced by 30% of their current cooldown, and the mega gauge increases twice.
Twice?
Twice.
So it can last for 30 seconds?
I don't even know how relevant. I don't even know how relevant that is. That might be the least impressive part of all of this, but it still makes me feel like garbage. Like, stop.
You want to get to Master Ball and Unite? Find $10 on your parents' credit card. Get Mewtwo X. You'll be there in like 10 games. Like.
We were specifically talking to the mid-20s, mid-30-year-olds.
Find your parents' credit card anyway. Yeah. They won't notice.
At level 13, increase the amount of HP recovered to 30% of incoming damage received, up from 20%. That's fun. And then teleport is actually the shortest description of all. Mewtwo teleports to the designated location. For 5 seconds, movement speed is increased by 10%. Mewtwo deals 10% more damage, and the mega gauge increases 50% faster. At level 13, damage dealt is increased to 15%.
You don't need that if you just teleport them to you, though.
I feel like the move set that everyone's using is Future Sight and Recover, right?
I think it has to be, yeah.
Okay.
I'd much rather have a gigantic shield and hurt you while living and running around you and laughing in your face because you're slow for 3 seconds and unable to move for 0.75 seconds.
Exactly. If all of that wasn't enough, There's the Unite move. Mewtwo X's Unite move. Infinite Cyburn. Tell me what you think it is.
Everyone gets hit by a giant beam at the exact same time. It's like big Karth assault all at once. That always happens to me. I don't know what that is, but I'm assuming it's one of them.
Was Mewtwo. All right.
Oh, it has to be. Yeah.
Oh, it has to be. Could it be? Mewtwo reveals enemy players from the opposing team and starts channeling a powerful attack. Sounds like it so far. After 1 second, Mewtwo brings down a powerful psychic beam on each of them, dealing damage to enemies around each point of impact, leaving them unable to attack for 1 second and decreasing their defense by 20% for 3 seconds. Enemy players can only be hit by one psychic beam.
Just in case you couldn't escape, just hits you now. It's just like, boom.
They definitely built too many things on Mewtwo X.
Someone at Unite. Who makes Unite? Timmy? Someone at Timmy. I get it. You love the first movie. I don't have to like it that much. Oh god. It sounds like me and Mike are just complaining a lot. It's legitimately an issue. Me and Mike have played many years of MOBAs, many years of Unite. This feels oppressive. This is probably like the worst experience I've had against an opposing Pokemon that was just released. Like, everyone makes fun of when a new character or Pokemon or champion comes out, it's going to be overpowered because, you know, they want you to buy it.
Right.
This is like so overpowered. It's so overpowered, in fact, Unite-DB, which is a website we've talked about here before in the past, built a new tier just for Mewtwo above S tier, and it's the Y tier, and it says in parentheses, to be pronounced Y. So we are not alone in this opinion. It is an issue.
It says right up there, the new Y tier, pronounced Y with many Ys, is dedicated to overtuned Pokemon. So yes, this is a Pokemon that has been tuned to the nines.
And they just released Mewtwo Y, and Mewtwo Y is just as bad. It's just as horrifying.
Right.
It's not on this tier list yet because it was just released, but it is kind of hard to play
against. Oh, it shall be there. It shall be there. For anyone who's curious right now, if you're looking to have a close second in a game that you're not using Mewtwo X on, you could be running Inteleon, Lapras, Mew, Slowbro, Umbreon, or Zacian, according to Unite DB. I personally have been having a lot of fun with Slowbro. I haven't tried Umbreon yet, and I really want to.
Umbreon's a cool Pokemon. That's a good one.
Yeah. You mentioned that I would really enjoy Lapras.
Lapras is so fast, dude. Lapras.
Oh, I love speed.
Yeah, that's why you love it.
Yeah, definitely.
I think Lapras's Unite, it literally, Mike, you thought Dodra was fast. This thing flies. Ooh. It like rides a wave and goes. It's crazy.
See, I've always maintained that speed is everything
it's called,
in MOBA.
Yeah, Unite move, Lapras Express.
Lapras Express!
Ride a wave quickly and continuously forward, becoming unstoppable for 15 seconds. Lapras movement speed increases every second while riding, but decreases if the user hits an obstacle.
So amazing.
You go in.
All right, folks, we're going to ride the Lapras Express. I found the title for today's podcast. Well, thank you very much. That's beautiful, and I will absolutely go and try a Lapras, because I was saying, I think that speed is everything in a MOBA. I think that if you have the speed to outrun a skill shot, if you have the speed to make it from one lane to the next when an opponent can't make it from one lane to the next, if they sit there in a lane for an extra 5 seconds to go and get a little bit more experience, if they're not like right on your tail following you, like, you can make so many plays by just not being in the place that you're at.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very much into
ride that. The Lapras Express.
Ride the Lapras Express, exactly. All right. In more ancillary Pokemon news, there is an update to Pokemon Sleep, the game that Kevin and I are still very much into, very much playing.
What's your highest RP right now?
I don't look at that. That's a stat that I have not cared about at all. You go ahead and tell me yours.
That's an important stat. Okay, I'm opening up my game. Because RP is pretty much directly related to how much does this help Snorlax level up? So highest RP means highest Snorlax level.
Okay. But, like, sure. I guess it depends, too, on like, your berries that you're using and your abilities and whatnot and how like those synergize with the other Pokemon, right?
Snorlax. Like, it takes account, like, what abilities you have. Like, if you're speed of help up, you will have a higher RP than if you were speed of help down, for example. Or if you're ingredient up, you would have a higher RP than if you weren't. Okay, I'll tell you what mine is.
I will tell you that right now we're midway through the week and I have just hit Great Ball 2. Now, I know that I'm probably far behind where you are.
No, I'm also at Great Ball 2, but I'm in a different location.
I'm the best. I'm a genius.
I'm in a different location. I'm trying to, I'm working on the Cyan Beach, whatever it's called.
Oh, I see. I'm in that new area, the Crystal whatever.
Oh, I didn't go there. I haven't unlocked. I didn't go there, though.
Okay.
My highest RP is a Raichu, but it's not the Raichu I was gifted. It's another Raichu.
You have more than one Raichu?
No, I traded away the one I started the game with because it sucked.
This guy's just out here getting Raichus left, right, and center.
It's 14. 14. No, it's
14.
1,124.
You're in the four digits?
Yeah, and then my second highest one is an Arcanine, 1,099.
Dude, my highest is 681. So riddle me this. We just went through this thing of saying, like, okay, higher RP means you can contribute to Snorlax more. How is it that I am great? How is it that we are both at Great Ball 2, yet I have my highest Pokemon at 681.
I'm not using the Raichu. I'm leveling up the smaller guys.
Okay. And those guys are all around the RP that I'm at.
I have currently a...
So I will tell you, that was a Pikachu that I'm not using.
At 13. Okay, the Wartortle I have is 660, so yeah.
The Wartortle you have is 660, and that's the one that you're using this week.
Well, yeah, because I'm just leveling him up.
Okay.
Trying to make him a Blastoise.
Right. The Charmeleon that I'm using is 640.
Okay, that makes sense 14. Then.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Pokemon Sleep is having an update. That was where this whole was coming from. I have actually, by the way, I have taken to not switching out my teams anymore. I don't know about you.
Oh, no, I still switch.
Mm-hmm. Reason being, is I stick with the team that gives the most berries. And thankfully for the past couple of weeks, the teams that include that also have like high ingredient yield. Like my Charmeleon is giving a Lapa berry, which is this Snorlax, the Snorlax's desire. But, but it also has that ability, which gives it 8 ingredients when it triggers.
Yeah. If you can double up on it, then that's really good.
It's huge.
Yeah, if you could be the ingredient giver but still have the appropriate berries for the Snorlax, that's probably the most optimal thing to do.
Mm-hmm. So there's a update for Pokemon Sleep as of August 25th with a bunch of different quality of life. I don't even want to call them quality of life. They're all like good features to the game that need to be implemented. So first of all, they're implementing the Good Sleep Day event starting Wednesday, August 30th, which they've mentioned a few times.
What is it, though? They're just going to give us more Dream Shards? I'm actually low on Dream Shards. I don't know about you. I'm starving for Dream Shards.
I get there.
Yeah.
I really only focus on the team that I'm leveling up that week. So I don't really find myself needing them, but I do have a lot of Pokemon just kind of sitting in the back collecting candies that I know when it's their turn to go up, they're definitely going to be eating up what little Dream Shards I still have. So, from there, they're also broadening the conditions required to meet one's bedtime. This one's huge, by the way.
Yeah.
So the players can meet their bedtimes by starting sleep tracking up to 90 minutes before or 30 minutes after their set bedtime.
I've missed my bedtime so many times, even though I am going to sleep at a close enough time. Right. I don't know what goes on with the Pokeball Plus, but yeah, I've had that issue. I'm glad they're doing that.
I've made a grave error in that when I first set my bedtime, I set it for 11:30. I never hit 11:30. I never hit anywhere close to 11:30. Dude, it's 2 a.m. right now.
So you click the Pokeball Plus and you leave it in the room while your wife is sleeping. That's what I'm currently doing. That's
probably the right thing to do, I guess. I keep forgetting to hit that button. Would probably remember to hit the button if I had a window of 10 p.m. to midnight to actually go.
A 90 minute window, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can do up to 30 minutes after as well. So you can do a full 2 hours.
2 hours. That's really good then.
Mm-hmm. They're implementing night mode for the loading screen. I thought they already did. I thought that was like the dark blue one, but okay. Adjustments to graphic quality settings to include 4 levels. That's good for people who are using their phone for the sleep mode. If you're waking up in the morning and you're spending as much time as I am trying to catch things and level things up and doing all the housekeeping that you have to do in Pokemon Sleep, having the low graphic settings to like really give your phone that break first thing in the morning so you don't end up at like 89% by the time you're done. It's pretty good.
It's a hefty game and it chugs, man. Sometimes it struggles, but I'm also using an iPhone XR, so it's hard to tell.
In the past,
it's hard to tell which is my phone and which is the app.
You bought that when it was cheap and you rode that thing until the wheels are.
This was purchased refurbished, by the way.
That's what the R is for. It's not. Adjustments to the research community. So the player is returned to the same scroll location when they look at a friend's research and they return to the research community screen. I feel like they could have probably written that a little differently than the way they did, but cool. You fixed something. You noticed a very specific problem and you fixed it. So good.
I don't know about you, but I'm at the point in the friends list where I'm getting like 7 candies a day now. I was like, yes, thank you. Everyone's really friendly.
I'm glad that there are a lot of people who are as committed to this process as I am. Yeah. I've been getting quite a few candies these days. So
that's good.
Hopefully I've been able to help those people as well. You know, it does work both ways in this game, so that's great.
That's fair.
Decreasing the amount of data for new users to download when they register is good for new people. Mm-hmm. And then adding a function that notifies the player on the home screen when a good camp ticket's effects have ended.
Have you experienced a good camp yet? Because I have.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good. It's like.
I have one going right now.
Oh, I don't have one going right now.
That might be why. I see. Well, okay, yeah, we found it.
Now everything makes sense. Yeah.
This is why I am on Great Ball, too. Yeah. sleep tracking changes too. They've made adjustments to make it possible to conduct sleep research even when damage to the sleep data causes sleep tracking to fail. That's huge for me. I stopped using the Pokemon Go Plus for a little while. For sleep anyway. I still use it for Pokemon Go all the time, but for Pokemon Sleep, I stopped using it because there was one day where I was like, I was so gung-ho on it. It's like the beginning of the week. I was like, yeah, I'm going to have perfect sleep days every single time. And like, it wasn't a click the thing and put it away somewhere kind of thing. This was like me going to sleep and me tracking this properly. Yeah. I wake up the next morning, I go and sync it. And it's like, oh, sorry, we lost 3 hours worth of sleep data. So,
well, where did it go? Well,
but where did it go? So I was after that, I was like, yeah, my phone never has that problem. So I decided to just kind of stick with that. But if they're fixing this, that's great.
Good sign. Thanks.
Means I don't have to keep my phone beside my head anymore.
I like when games update things.
Isn't that nice?
This game has had more updates than Scarlet and Violet already.
We're on 1.0.6. Scarlet and Violet is on 1.0.2.
No. Something like that. That's what it feels like. They fixed Zoroark a couple times. That's all I remember.
They love those Zoroark fixes. They were very vocal. I don't even think it was the fact that they did it. It was the fact that they were so vocal about it.
We're fixing a bug where Zoroark, blah, 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 blah.
Like they really put out those patch notes about Zoroark the whole time, huh? That's fine. It's fine. And then, yeah, some more sleep tracking stuff, some more power saving stuff. This is like longer than I probably wanted to talk on Pokemon Sleep, but it, you know, it's, I'm happy that they are updating that as regularly as they are. I think it is important to, you know, get this app going if you want a proper sleep tracker, because mm-hmm. right now people are kind of picking up on the fact that Pokemon Go or Pokemon Sleep is like a less entertaining Pokemon game and a less functional sleep tracker, but the fact that it's both of those things makes it better than both somehow.
Yeah, so they're just trying to make it better from both perspectives.
Go for it. Exactly. All right, and then next up, we've got some tournament news. As of August 23rd, registrations have opened up for Peoria, Illinois, this year's Peoria Regionals. However, it looks like VGC is capped.
I don't know what's happening, man. And a lot of players are vocal about this.
Yeah,
we had coming out of like a very strong VGC year where we were getting like 800 players, 700 players, 650 players. We were getting so many players to the point where the CP caps were raised this season, as sure. they should be, because, yeah, we do have more players. CP caps should be raised and points should be adjusted. This isn't 2010 anymore. These numbers don't work. But then they went ahead and just capped us at 400 for the first two tournaments of the season.
Right.
What's happening here? What's the point of a higher CP cap if you're going to cap the actual game?
I love that everything is summarized so well in just a meme. Pengi went and tweeted out something from a user named Craig is Swell. And it's one of those like Gru memes from Despicable Me where, you know, he has the big piece of paper and it's like, oh, it's this. And then it's something weird. And he looks at it. He's like, what? So what it says is, you know, this season, the top 256 players can get points if there are more than 512 total players. Wow. Amazing. Whoa, big applause. Yay. Mm-hmm. If my soundboard was working, then I would absolutely have the applause going right now. Yeah, woo! At that, and then at the next frame, the first tournament's capped at 400 players. You can't hit the 512 cap there. Barcelona special event capped at 350 players, huh? Second tournament capped at 300 players, huh?
This is ridiculous.
What?
This is back to like pandemic Sword and Shield. Like this is, we're getting capped out at 300.
My thing is like,
this makes no sense. It makes no sense.
And the reason that people are upset about that is if you look at what Worlds attendance just was, you know, we had tons of people there. We had the viewership on Worlds was highest than most of Pokemon has been in a very long time.
VG was the highest viewed out of everything else there. Yeah.
Right.
In general.
It's the demand is there.
What bothers me also is over. I'm not sure if it's overload, but the tournament organizers tweeted out, we will be opening more spots as soon as we're confirmed for more Hori docs. Is that really the only thing that's stopping us?
Let me bring
my own doc, dude. I will bring it.
Okay, well, that actually changes things a little bit for me. Because if this is an equipment issue, sure.
But the equipment exists. We know it's there.
I mean, maybe something happened to it. Did something happen to it? It makes me think that
it sank on the happening. Pokemon cruise. I don't know. It's still in Japan.
Is it still in transit? I don't know. Has something happened? I wish that they would be vocal about that sort of thing. Because if they had, you know, 700-800 docs in the last tournament, and then they don't for this one, that kind of raises some red flags for me. But yeah, at that point, just be transparent.
I guess our eSport does require the most equipment out of all the other ones.
Sure.
But still, man, you can't just bring your own Hori dock. We have to bring our own Switch. I will go out and purchase a Hori dock. It's $20. It's not expensive. You're making me buy the DLC of a 4-year-old game anyway to get Urshifu. Might as well get a Hori dock.
It's built into my ticket price. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm hoping that we're able to bring some more people into these regionals, because really, like, there easily would be more people at these regionals. And if they're afraid of the amount of CP that they're giving out, then that's one thing. But if it's an equipment issue, then for that, I honestly understand a little bit more. But I would hope that we'd be able to, you know, grow that a little bit more, because that's the whole thing. We're just trying to grow the eSport. Yeah.
I think the organizers are the ones that decide the cap. So I'm not even sure if I'm mad at TPCI for this or the organizers. But if it's an equipment thing, then I kind of... I honestly believe that all the equipment is just still in Japan. Because at this point, I don't know how long it takes to transport 700 Hori docks. Like, I am not...
Maybe.
That sounds like it'd need to be on a boat. Right. I don't know. Or a plane. That might take some time.
If all those docks are supplied by the Pokemon Company and they did call them back for their own event, then sure. Okay. Either way,
maybe too many events are happening at the same time. And hey, we only have like a 1,500 docks in the back. So we can only supply X.
It's going to be, it's going to be interesting seeing what happens in Toronto. Because that one is like a...
Yeah, there's no excuse.
Not
that's
a major
that's
city
time.
Necessarily, but like it's a close enough city that you're going to get a lot of people. Between Peoria and Toronto, I would think maybe just...
Toronto is a
somebody.
Lot more major of a city. I think more people know of the word Toronto than Peoria, Illinois.
Fair enough.
Heck, even maybe Pittsburgh. People know Toronto more than Pittsburgh, too. Mm. Yeah.
We were talking about this before the podcast, and I'm still very curious just where the idea of bringing regionals to places like Peoria comes from. Because, I mean, spending a little bit of time in the industry, I do know that esports is a big thing for a lot of travel companies. It's a big thing for a lot of, business and commerce parts of government. So for Illinois to be so like forward in bringing esports in, that's awesome. If they were the ones who offered up Peoria as a place for esports to go in, that's interesting, because that might mean that they're trying to build up Peoria. But I'm curious how much of like an influence that has in Pokemon in general. You know?
How much is it the city and how much is it the organizers?
Yeah. Right. Because, like, prior to me knowing that kind of stuff, I would
like
think
Orlando
that it was just,
is
like,
one that happens every single year. Sure. Like, you know there's going to be a regional in Orlando. There's going to be a regional in San Diego. There's going to be a regional in Texas somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of always the thing that those are always just the big states. Indianapolis is kind of always in the area.
Right. And before all of this, before me knowing that, about esports, I would have assumed that it would be the organizers just kind of like choosing a good place to go and have it. But there's so much more than that. When you go high level enough, it's, you know, talking with government, trying to bring you into these places, trying to fill quotas for your convention centers. Like, oh, I have a convention center that needs an event on October 7th to 8th. Can we bring in esports? Does that tick off the boxes that we need to tick off? Like Ohio, it has been the place for NAIC for years.
3 years now, yeah.
And it's definitely, to me, a partnership with Ohio as a state and Pokemon as an organization.
Yeah, but at that point, international challenges is TPCI taking care of it. So I would believe that is a partnership versus like overload events taking care of it or day two events taking care of it. You know?
Yeah.
It seems like a little different there.
Yeah. I at that point, that's the events partner, and the events partner is hired by the TPCI to go. And oh,
here's
that
a
in.
Good, here's
even
a good
through end. That, even through that, it goes a step below that. Mm. When you get into like the AV partner, it's not Overload bringing in all of their stuff.
It's no, they rent the it out. Yeah.
People that Overload are bringing in that go and set all that stuff up.
Here's a good thought for Worlds, since Worlds is run by TPCI and Pokemon. They've been to DC two times. Sure. They've been to Hawaii 3 times. Do you think those cities have contracts with Pokemon?
100%.
Yeah, I probably agree with you there.
2,000%. Absolutely. The reason that they're repeat customers is because of that.
I think too, probably.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like, if you look at other esports, right? Like Riot or Valve with Dota and League of Legends, right?
Oh yeah, it's always New York City for NA finals or whatever it is
for League, right?
League, yeah, it's always Madison Square Garden and New York City.
The data I would infer from that is to say that like New York sees that esports is booming. New York saw that League is like the biggest organized esport out there. Mm. And they were like, yeah, we're New York. You gotta be in here. Go and have your tournament in here.
Have a bacon, forget egg and about cheese, it. Cup of coffee.
A cup
eat
of coffee.
A sausage.
Exactly. And then say hi
forget
to your sister.
Forget about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Say hi to your sister. Forget about it.
But yeah, no, it's definitely a top-down kind of thing. It is involved in some way. Of course, it is driven by the passion of the people who play in it and who are in it, because it's seen in government, in business. Like, it is seen that there is interest in things like this.
So. Look at these middle-aged men playing video games.
Yeah, yeah. Middle-aged men are playing video games. That's an absolutely good demographic to go and sell things at and promote your economy. Like,
look, these men addicted to children's things have a lot of money now. Give them to our city. Overcharge like beer.
Is this like a self-deprecating kind of thing that you do?
This is like
a children's thing all the time. Let's look at the Peggy rating. I know. It's E for everyone, Kevin.
This is Pokemon that we're talking about.
Yeah, bro, I know.
I mean, just released a mod that just sucks the life out of children. So who knows? We got Poltergeist now, baby, full circle.
That's what I'm saying. All right. Can I call the podcast? Is that a podcast? Are we done?
I'm surprised we went this long with absolutely no news other than a grass and ghost type with a cool hospitality ability.
This isn't a news podcast. It's become a news podcast. This happens every cycle of Pokemon games. Is like we get so news, not we, Pokemon gets so news heavy for a little while. And then they're just like,
we are at the post-Worlds lull though.
Yeah.
Right? We're like 2 weeks away, like away from Worlds. Worlds just happened 2 weeks ago.
Some people love it. At this point, yeah.
We're waiting for the first regional to happen, which happens in like about a week. And then we're also waiting for DLC. There's a lot of things we're waiting for. Kind of in the waiting room right now, yeah.
I love this part where it's just us chatting about stuff all the time.
The calm before the storm.
yeah. Like going into news and going into data and all that, like I take pleasure out of that, sure. But I think like what I really love about the podcast is just when you and I just have these kind of talks. I love our talks, Kevin.
Aw. I wasn't invited to the bachelor party. GG, see you next week.
I'm going with two friends. I'm going with two friends.
It's okay, maybe next time.
Listen, Kevin, we're calling it a bachelor party. What it really is just us being like, hey, I kind of want to go somewhere. Can we just like go to Montreal?
I swear, if one of the friends is Pierre, I'm gonna be mad.
Yeah, actually, both of the friends are Pierre. Same guy. It's crazy. Cloned him. It's great. All right, folks. Well, if you enjoyed this, please do go and check out PokeSports on YouTube for more of the same. We're just goofs, really. Yeah. We're goofy over there. YouTube.com/PokeSports. Check us out on Instagram. PokeSports Pod.
Do we have coming out this week on the channel?
Oh, we've got a Frigiraffe.
Yeah, we got a Frigiraffe. We got Camerupt. We got Tinkaton. There's a Mudsdale and Pincurchin there right now. It's got a good time
this
there.
This is the PokeSports fell off week.
Oh yeah, we got cool. some bangers coming up.
We got week. 6 days in a row of trash.
Did
Pokemon.
You guys know that we're like 2 months into Regulation D? Could you tell yet?
They're not trash Pokemon, they're trash tier Pokemon. We make it work. We do. All right. Anyway, folks, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Next week, we're going to be doing both the question of the day today and the question of the day last week, because, of course, we didn't have the time for it. Thanks a lot. I'm going to go edit this and upload it and maybe sleep. I don't know if I'm lucky.
Good luck.
See ya.
Sleep in the car. Bye-bye.